Welcome to Dominion Emma's Podcast. You are about to hear a kingdom living message from Reverend Kofi Asa of Dominion Emma's Podcast, committed to unveiling our Lord Jesus Christ and his kingdom system. Reverend Kofi Asa is also a pastor at the Prevailing Word Chapel and enjoys his anointed and insightful message.
Hallelujah. Let's take a difficult scripture, but you have to know it. You know, look at the book of Hebrews. Generally, Hebrews is a difficult book, but I don't want you to misunderstand what I am going to do. You know, by Hebrews chapter 10 and then verse what? 2. Hebrews chapter 10 and then verse 2. For then, oh wow. Let's take it. Hebrews 10:1 for context. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, never with these same sacrifices which they offer continually year by year, make those who approach perfect. Law cannot make you perfect. That is what the Bible is saying. Verse 2. For then will they not have ceased to be offered. For the worshippers, in other words, he's saying that if through the law you were made perfect, the high priest will not go into the Holy of Holies with the blood to atone, sprinkle it on the mercy seat. I taught you last week. The cherubims who were giving source to slay human beings who are trying to enjoy of life and life, for them to look at the blood and to look at the mercy seat. Okay, so he says that do it every year because the people are not, the thing doesn't make them perfect. The law, no matter what is, doesn't perfect. It's a shadow of the good things which we have in Jesus. For the worshippers who had no more consciousness of sin. If the law made them perfect, then the Bible says they won't be consciousness of sin because of sin. They won't have the consciousness of sin. But that is the Old Testament. The law, it makes you know that you are sinful, right? Ten Commandments, it makes you to know you are sinful. But now we have together by his perfect sacrifice, not the year by year one, but the one sacrifice. He says that he has perfect. Do you know what it implies? It implies that you should not have consciousness of sin. What should you have? Consciousness of righteousness. Hallelujah. Wonderful. Ladies and gentlemen, in those sacrifices, a reminder of sins every year. Every year, there is a reminder of sins. Ladies and gentlemen, in this perfect life, there is no reminder of sins. Do you know what there is a reminder of? That's what I'm doing to you today. There is a reminder of righteousness, a reminder of righteousness, a reminder of righteousness to seek the kingdom of righteousness. And all these things shall be added up unto you. Instead of reminder of sin, you have a reminder of what? Righteousness. So when I come and stand in front of you, I shouldn't call to mind your sinfulness to righteousness. Look at John chapter 16. Chapter 16. Sometimes we think that when we stand and we tell people this, we are that, we think that we are being humble. We are not glorifying the blood, the perfect fresh blood which cleansed. We are saying that the blood has got defect in it, just like Old Testament people's one, and not consciousness of the fact that we are righteous. We are desecrating the precious blood of Jesus and equating it to the blood of animals. Because we just went through reading that the blood of animals, it doesn't make them perfect. That one perfect sacrifice of Jesus, it makes the comers perfect. Well, in the Old Testament, David said, search my heart. So you should also keep search my heart. Pastor, are you saying that we shouldn't meditate and have sober moment? Please don't spoil my message. That is okay. Pastor, are you saying that we shouldn't work out our own salvation? Don't spoil my message. That is not what I'm saying. Don't work your righteousness. The Bible says that work what? Your salvation. Do you know what salvation means? Breakthrough. Breakthrough. He didn't say work for your salvation. That is where righteousness comes in. So don't spoil my message. I know perfectly what I'm talking to you about, what I'm teaching you about. Hallelujah. Look at John chapter 16 and then verse 8. And oh, hallelujah. It's talking, can we all say Holy Spirit?
Holy Spirit.
Let's say it again.
Holy Spirit.
Do you know the first characteristic of the Spirit of God? He is a Holy Spirit. Unfortunately, do you know how people have made him? When I say Holy Spirit, holiness doesn't come to your mind. Do you know what comes into your mind? Power. And people say power, I don't have any problem with that. But the first characteristic of the Spirit of God is that he is holy. Yes, he is powerful. Yes, he is anointed, if you like. Yes, he anoints. Eh? But he is holy. If he is a Holy Spirit, that is his name. What he imparts is what? I'll ask you again. If he is called Holy Spirit, and that is how God chooses to describe his spirit, not powerful spirit. When the powerful spirit, when the anointed, anointing, the person who anoints you comes. He said, when the Holy Spirit comes. He likes to call him Holy Spirit. He is a Holy Spirit, and that is what he is God. What he gives you is what? Holiness. Some people say he gives you gifts, grace. Yes, it is true, but that's not the first thing he gives you. He is a Holy Spirit. He is a Holy Spirit. Jesus is talking about his Holy Spirit, and he says in verse number 8 that when he has come, when the Holy Spirit has come, he will convict the world of sin. Who is he going to convict of sin? Who is he going to convict of sin? The world. Do you know what the world is talking about? Unbelievers. I need to teach you this, because some of you think that when you come and you castigate people's sins before them, then the Holy Ghost is leading you. Before believers, you can go into all those kind of religious understanding and teaching and all that, and people will feel remorse and quiet and things like that, but you are not working with the Holy Spirit. You are working with a different spirit. It's a religious spirit too. Let's see what Jesus said the Holy Spirit will do when he comes. When he comes, he will convict the world of sin. Why? Because there is sin in the world. The world is talking about unbelievers. And of righteousness. And of judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of sin, because of what? Because they are adulterers. Is that what the Bible says? Of sin, because they are liars. Or sin because they are corrupt people in Ghana. You convict them of sin. Righteousness exalts a nation. The Holy Spirit will convict them of sin because of their corrupt deeds. These politicians and these people who say they are leaders, full of corruption. You say the Holy Ghost is leading you. I beg to differ. There is another spirit who behaves as if he hates sin, but actually he encourages sin. Actually, this devil, they call him the accuser of the brethren. He will accuse you that you were a sinner. He will accuse you that you are corrupt and all that. But it's not the Holy Ghost. Well, if it's to an unbeliever, it's the Holy Spirit. But I'm talking to believers now. Hallelujah. He will not convict you. He's the accuser of the brethren. He behaves as if he doesn't want you to sin. When he accuses you that you are a liar, you are a liar, you've been lying all the time, you think God likes you, you think God accepts you, you are a liar, you call yourself a Christian and you're always lying and all that, you think he wants you to say the truth. No. He has a certain disposition that is religious. He's a religious being. For the sake of goodness, he was in heaven. He knows that life. So he doesn't convict you of sin. Religious spirit doesn't convict believers of sin because he wants them to live in righteousness. It is because when he puts your sin before you, he wants you to be full of that sin. And when you are full of that lust and adultery and lying, you will find yourself committing it. Because everything your mind is full of, you practice it. That is why you always put it before you. You are like that. You are like that. You are like that. Not because he wants you to stop being like that, but because he wants you to be so down and continue like that. But the Holy Spirit is also a convictor. He convicts the world of their sin, yes. But he convicts believers of righteousness. He convicts the world of sin because of what? Because they are unbelievers. Just because they don't believe in Jesus. That is the sin that is taking people to hell. The sin that is taking people to hell is the fact that they don't believe that somebody, oh, thank you, made them righteous. That's why they will go to hell. As soon as they believe that Jesus is my righteousness, they will go to heaven. Yeah. That's why we must preach the gospel to them and let them know that somebody took their sin and gave them righteousness. He rose up because God sees them as righteous. They should just believe what is a spiritual reality, and then it will become actualized in their lives. So he says what? Of sin because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father. Of because I am at the right hand side of the Father. Say the Holy Ghost will convict you of righteousness. The believer of righteousness. Because I am at the right hand side of the Father in heaven. And what I say there is what he will say to you. If I will not say that you are a sinner before my Father, show him my side and tell him that they are sinners. Although he's a believer in me, he's a sinner. If I will not say that in heaven, Holy Ghost will not say that thing to you. Because I'm going to heaven, you see, he came to glorify me. What I did, he came to promote it. So to the believer who believes, he will not contradict the words of Jesus Christ before the Father. As he makes intercession for us, the Holy Ghost will also say the same thing, that you are righteous. You are righteous. Why? Why will he do that? Because he wants you to have righteousness consciousness. He wants you to know all the time that your garment is white. He wants you to know, even in the face of sin, even in the face of sin, when I say that, you understand? Even when you are in sin, no, I am righteous. When you gain that consciousness, you overcome the sin that you were just about to do, or you were in the, you will stop. So he says that he will continually convict you of righteousness because I am going to the Father. I'm going to the Father. I'm going to say some things, plead your case for you, intercede for you. And what I'm saying, he's going to say the same thing unto you, that you are righteous. Hallelujah. I came with the kingdom righteousness that God sent his Son, who is our righteousness, to give us. Himself. When you have him, you have kingdom righteousness. His righteousness. Of righteousness, verse 10, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. So he convicts the world of sin because they do not believe that you believe. So that verse 9 doesn't apply to you. Look at verse 10. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. He was talking to who? His disciples. The 12. This is one of his upper room teaching. Upper room. In the upper room, Jesus Christ changed gear and began to teach them kingdom things. Upper means it's higher. It's above the ground level where ordinary people think about righteousness. In the upper room, he is teaching them kingdom one, a higher version. Hallelujah. So verse 10 is for you. Of righteousness, because I go to the Father. And you. It's not the world. He said, and the world sees me no more. He said, and you, talking to his disciple, believers, you don't see me anymore. Do we see him? We don't see him. So what does it mean? It means we are righteous. Can you get that? He says that they convict you that you are righteous because I am not physically around on earth. So if we know Jesus is not around, then it means we are righteous, not so.
Yes.
Because he's there saying that we are righteous. As long as he's not on earth, he hasn't come in the second coming or the rapture. You who believe in him, you are righteous.
Amen.
Because he's there in heaven. That's the scripture. Look at verse 11. It's verse 11 for you. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. Eh? Do you know the ruler of this world? He's talking about the devil. The first one is unbelievers, verse 9. The second one is the ministry of the Holy Spirit to believers. The third one is what? The ministry of the Holy Spirit to the devils and demons. It's not you. It's not you.
We'll be back briefly to continue with the word. Dominion Embassy is a non-denominational teaching ministry, and our mission is to enable people to rule in life through acknowledging the treasure of the Lord in them. Our purpose is to teach about the treasure of the Lord, namely Jesus and his kingdom system. Our vision is to fully acknowledge the person, principles and performance of Jesus for mankind to teach the kingdom system of God. And our strategy is to bring the kingdom message and ways of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to practical living, teaching and preaching, literature, seminar, and audio visuals, all in the subliminal style of Jesus Christ. Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast.
Hallelujah! It's wonderful, isn't it? So, what happens? What happens if a believer sins? What happens? Is it possible for a believer to sin? Yes, it is possible for a believer to sin. It is very possible for a believer to sin. Because a believer is growing practically in God. He has an old life that kept him as a slave to sin. Now, in Christ Jesus, he has a new life that makes him a slave to righteousness. I love that. I always love it. It's in Romans chapter 6. I always love to think about myself as a slave to righteousness. I say, no, I can't help it but to get it right. Whatever I'm doing, I'll get it right. There is no way I'll get it wrong. It's no more a mystery for me to know his will. Having made known unto us, Ephesians chapter 1, the mystery of his will. It was at first that the will of God is shrouded and we don't know. But being made slaves of righteousness and awaking to the fact that I'm a slave of righteousness will let me get it right all the time. Even if I get it wrong, he will write it. It is his responsibility. Because I love him. He has to convert my mistakes. In fact, bless my mistakes, even literally. You don't know the deal we have. We have a powerful deal, oh. He has to bless it. He has to bless it. There is no way he can't but bless it. Because we enjoy the blessing of Abraham in Christ Jesus. He died on the cross so that the blessing of Abraham will come upon the Gentile. Do you know one blessing of Abraham? One time Abraham went to make a mistake. He went to take his slave, Hagar, and brought forth to a child with Hagar. And that was a mistake. Is that right? Yeah, we all know that was a mistake. But did God bless his mistake? Yes. In fact, he told God, God, let Ishmael live before you. God said that, yes, I've blessed him. I've blessed Ishmael. Up till now, you visit Ishmael. Yes, the greater part of the Middle East is Ishmael. And that is the fourth most visited place in the world. In fact, overcoming, they are even moving from the fourth, the most visited place in the world, Dubai, the heart of it. Now everything is moving towards that place because they are blessed. Are they not blessed? When I got to Dubai, The first time I was there many years ago, I think 2000 thereabout. Year 2000. I said, wow. I spent about 6 hours in the airport. I said, I was doing transit. And, you know, the first time I traveled outside. So I don't want to explore. Maybe I got somewhere and then they say, hey, black, come. What are you doing here? I mean, I was just waiting, just reading the board for my flight. And I walked and walked and walked and walked all throughout. I walked, I would sit and drink Coke. That time, those times, I could take Coke. And walk, just admire the duty-free shops. And you see, that's all my sermon. I'm trying to say that even back then, I said, these people, they are blessed. When I went again some few years back, I said, hey, these people, would they ever accept Jesus? They are working physical miracles on earth. Wow. Abraham said, Lord, let Ishmael be blessed. God said, I've blessed him. He will be a great person. But Isaac is the one I've chosen. God had to bless the mistake of Abraham. If we enjoy the blessing of Abraham, some of you think that you have married the wrong woman. Some of you think that your children, this one, it shouldn't have come to me. What kind of stubborn child is this? What kind of child is this? He's not like me. Hey, what kind of character? As this guy got, it's not that you look at him and say, hey, this guy, why his head? What is wrong with his head? Can't he just think that this is not correct? I mean, listen. He is your child. And God gifted him or her to you from heaven. Believe that God, even if it's a mistake that I brought forth to this child at this time, Lord, bless my mistake. Abba. Look, there was a time that Peter was shown a vision from heaven, heavenly vision. Because Peter was not getting the kingdom word. You know, he had a problem with that. So they were preaching just to Jews. When they meet you, they are anointed, they are working miracles. But when they meet you, they say, ah, he doesn't look like a Jew. No, this one condemned forever. He looks like a Jew. Oh, yes, that is it. So God showed him a vision. He said, hey, leader of the church, come. Showed him a sheet let down from heaven, tied from the side. In them were only unclean animals, crow, pig, dirty animals that God has said they were unclean, the Jewish people should not eat. This time, the same God brought it from heaven on. Can you imagine that? Unclean animal from heaven. Yes. Yes. It came from heaven. Crows of heaven. Pigs of heaven. And then he said to Peter, Peter, rise up, kill and eat. Peter said, not so, Lord. Can you imagine that? Some of you think you are holier than God. This message you are hearing, you think that God has made a mistake. Why are you gifting them righteousness? I mean, it's wrong. Ah, God, he's no more righteous or what? He sees the ungodly and he's justifying the ungodly. Romans chapter 3, chapter 4. How can God justify? We know he justifies godly people. How can you look at an ungodly person and say that you are innocent? Because somebody took his guilt. So he sees him as innocent. It's in the Bible, your Bible. Peter said, not so, Lord. I haven't eaten anything unclean. And God said, hey, Peter, what I have cleansed, don't call it unclean. Shut up and kill and eat. Peter said it again. God, I'm a Jew. I haven't eaten pig before. Crow, vulture. I haven't eaten some before. God said, Peter, what my blood has done, don't lessen the power in the blood of Jesus by calling what I have given you. I, Holy God, perfect. I say, eat it. And you dare to tell me you are more holier than God. So God said, shut up. Kill it and eat it. Holy Ghost says, eat. Peter says, God, I can't eat. God took it up. And then he went to raise somebody. Paul. Publicly took Peter. I rebuked him to the face. Paul wrote it in the Bible. I rebuked him. What he was doing was not right. You think it's only Jews who are clean? Gentiles come. You were even eating with them. When you saw other Jews have come, you are behaving as if they are unclean. You haven't gotten the revelation. Paul took it up. God used him to write more. Because he was given a heavenly vision. He said to King Agrippa, Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. Was he a Pharisee? Yes, he was a Pharisee. Peter was not a Pharisee. He was just a devout Jew. Pharisees were better. But Paul welcomed the message of the kingdom. That no matter what, you may think your wife is a vulture. You may think your husband is a pig. You may think that your children, they are crows. Ladies and gentlemen, God says that, eat it. Eat it. What do you mean? You are holier than your wife. You are holier than your husband. There is a song. Should I say it? It goes like this. Wonke kanko. This is Amede Nawaba. Wonke kanko. Those of you who are old, you understand the song. I didn't see Kiba who played it. He said, Kata wodi eso, nebo imidi eso, na woe woso sara. Isn't it true? No. Isn't it true? That the sins we condemn people on, that my wife is dirty. You are dirty. That is why you could recognize dirty. It's true. Anytime you are condemning somebody, remember, but for the blood, we are all unclean. But because of the blood, we are all clean. So eat it, eat it, eat it, eat it. Your children, eat it. Doesn't mean literally kill them. It means that enjoy the pig. Then when you are eating, don't say, unclean, Baba, it's gone. Enjoy it. Your wife, enjoy her. Your husband, enjoy him. Your children, enjoy them. Where did they come from? From heaven. They may be unclean to human beings who think they are better than God. But for the blood, yes. We are clean, oh. He has cleaned even unbelievers. They are not aware they are clean. If they are where they are clean, they will say, Jesus, I take you. Yeah? Hallelujah. How much more you, the believer? I want you to listen over and over again and be full of righteousness. Let your mind be full of righteousness. Glorify the blood, that perfect blood that once and for all, not every year, once and for all, gives you consciousness of righteousness. Hallelujah. Awake to righteousness. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Let your mind tell your mind that, oh, I am righteous. Why should I think like that? When the thoughts are coming, the devil sometimes pushes bad things, profanity into your head and all that. He pumps it. Bad songs. He pumps it into your head. He says, look at you, Christian. You led worship. Now, even worship time, you are thinking about dirty things. He's doing it. Tell him that my mind is, time will fail me. But this is kingdom righteousness for you. Tell him that Jesus' mind is clean. And as he is, so am I on this earth. It is love perfected. The perfection of love is equating you to Jesus. Not because God wants to hype you. Not because God wants to deceive you, but because God knows that is the reality. That as he is, present tense in heaven, so are you in heaven on this earth. On this earth. 1 John 4:17. So are you on this earth. So tell the devil, His thoughts are clean in heaven. Those are my thoughts. This is not my thought. Hallelujah. You see that the devil will run away from you. Hallelujah. He will not assail you. He will leave you for a season. He may come again. But remind him again. It is written. Jesus says he's gone to heaven because of which the Holy Spirit will convict me of righteousness. Once he has not come back, I am on this earth. I am righteous. This one is not based upon my doing. It is based upon his gift. And this is the righteousness that pleases him. I know some of you say, Pastor, even unbelievers will not do this. This thing that they say, this pastor, this Christian, even unbelievers will not do it. And you think that unbelievers are better than believers. No, they are not. They are not. Hallelujah. They are not. They can live morally right life, stick to one woman, not think evil thoughts, never lie in their life. They can practice every righteousness and morality and uprightness. Once they don't believe in Jesus, who is their righteousness, God sees everything that they do, their truth, everything is filthy rags before him. But the believer who believes, not my righteousness, but the one he gave me on the cross, God looks at the person and he says, as my son is in heaven before me right now, so are you on this earth. So are you on this earth. Don't condemn your fellow believer. Don't condemn and say that unbelievers are even better than Christians. They are not. You came from
heaven to earth. I hope you've been blessed by the word. In case you've not accepted Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, kindly say this after me. Dear God, I repent towards you and sin. Come into my heart. I make you Jesus my Lord and Savior. Thank you for forgiving all my sins already, saving me from hell and accepting me into your kingdom as your royal child. In Jesus' name, amen. For this and other kingdom messages and books from Dominion Embassy, call 020-8078-535. Visit our website at www.dominionembassygh.org or our offices at No. 1 Karat Avenue, Eric Warden Street, near Zoom Lion offices, off Queen of Peace Academy, West Anaji Estate, Takoradi, Ghana. God richly bless you. Lord, I lift your name.